Happy New Year. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. You know, we are really milking this mock draft. This is going to be our third mock draft podcast.
What?
Yeah. And by the end of it, everybody's going to be all ready, all good to go. We only got to five rounds the first time we talked to me, Scott, and Al, and then Chris and I talked about our teams last week. Now Scott and Al are back. Happy New Year, fellas.
We're going to talk about your and Chris's teams.
No, we don't have to talk about our teams anymore. We can talk about your teams now. That's my gift to you.
Just to be clear, this isn't the last mock draft we're doing. There's going to be others after this one.
Sure, but this is the last podcast we're doing on this particular mock draft.
I should hope so.
Yes, that you will get your wish. How was your holiday, guys?
Mine was outstanding.
Oh, really?
Great holiday.
Scott, yours was good?
Yeah, mine was good. A lot of time with family.
Okay, good. All right, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
So the Dodgers signed two pitchers, Scott Kazmir, who we know, and Kenta Maeda, who we don't know, a Japanese starting pitcher. Who's going to be ranked higher, Maeda or Kazmir?
For me, probably going to be Kazmir. And some of that is, as you said, the risk of the unknown with Maeda. But from the reports that I've seen, it doesn't look like we can necessarily expect Maeda to be much of a strikeout pitcher. And we might have actually a better chance of seeing that with Kazmir.
Yeah, I think, Kazmir's been a pretty good strikeout pitcher, at least on a per inning basis. The problem with him is going enough innings, particularly when you get into the second half. It's been his issue the last couple years. So, they're going to be right there in the same range, right there in that 55 to 60 range, I think, in my rankings. But I agree, Maeda, he doesn't quite have, it's not like another Masahiro Tanaka coming over. He was a very good pitcher in Japan, won their equivalent of the Cy Young Award twice, including last year. But, throws low 90s and really just a really good control pitcher more so than one with a, blazing fastball or a great splitter in Tanaka's case. So, I see him as maybe having the upside of like a Hisashi Iwakuma, but that's in a best case scenario. And obviously first year over, I'm not willing to invest that much in him.
Yeah. In fact, I probably will rank them very closely. I've got Kazmir 65th. But I've got John Lackey 69th and Jake Odorizzi 70th. And that seems like the neighborhood where I'm comfortable to put Maeda.
Cool. Now we are going to go through rounds 6 through 21 of the 12-team draft that we did last month, a little less than a month ago, and we'll get a best pick and a worst pick and thoughts from each round. We did the first five rounds in the podcast 2 weeks ago, which is
pretty
cool.
That was a lot of big picture discussion, I feel like.
Yeah, it ended up being
a little more into the nitty-gritty here.
Exactly. It was a very helpful, thematic podcast, how to draft. This is more best pick and worst pick. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, and let's get to it. Round 6, and again, there's 12 teams, head-to-head points, only one catcher, 3 outfielders, 5 starting pitchers, 2 relievers, no middle infield, no corner infield. Here's round 6 for you. Anthony Rendon, Sonny Gray, Robinson Cano, Ryan Braun, John Lester, Carlos Gomez, Justin Verlander, Cole Hamels, Johnny Cueto, Rougned Odor, Starling Marte, and Eric Hosmer. Best pick of round 6, Al.
I'm going to go with Ryan Braun. I think that's pretty darn good value in the middle of round 6. And, maybe a candidate for me, I know I'm jumping ahead here, for worst pick would be just 2 picks later with Carlos Gomez. But I'm bringing that up now because I think Braun is maybe at the end of a tier for me because to me he's a much higher upside, more attractive outfield option than any of the outfielders that went in next couple of rounds after.
And those outfielders would be like Starling Marte, Carlos Gomez, Michael Brantley, Jason Hayward, Corey Dickerson.
Yeah, there seems to be a clear gap there. I would agree. And, if there wasn't the concern with Braun coming back from back surgery, which could impact his production maybe the start of next year, I think we might see him go as early as round two or three, like, you know, they're up there with the Adam Jones types. He was a 20-20 guy last year, nearly 25-25, and that's, even in a points league like this, that's still very valuable.
All right, Scott, did you have a best pick?
I actually agree with Al. I think Ryan Braun was clearly the best pick of
this
round.
Okay, cool. How about a worst pick, Scott?
Well, Carlos Gomez is a good choice. I think there are a few more candidates for that. I actually don't like the Justin Verlander pick so much, and I'm seeing that the Al's pick. So, particularly in relation to the other starting pitchers, because I think Cole Hamels and Johnny Cueto, well, especially Cole Hamels, I think the kind of production you're hoping to get from Verlander, even if his second half resurgence last year was legit, is probably not that much better than what you're pretty confident you're going to get from Hamels, just because he does it every year. So to me, it's unnecessary risk at this point. And really, even though Johnny Cueto, we've talked about him coming with a lot of risk too, I feel like Verlander's even riskier than him this high in the draft.
Yeah, no, in fact, when I made that pick, within about 10 seconds, I got a message from you saying, not Cole Hamels? and then Adam took Hamels with the next pick. I can understand your concern about Verlander over Hamels. If we did this draft again, though, I think I'd still go Verlander just because what I'm hoping from him is more than what I expect to get from Hamels. So there is a bit of an upside, you know, risk reward thing going there for me. But Cueto, I just do perceive Cueto as much riskier than Verlander at this point. And it's just the recency of the struggles, for Cueto. But again, it's not just the second half that was rough for Cueto. I mean, he's been an injury risk for a couple of seasons now.
Verlander, all right, Al. Though, I mean, I was just going to say, like, I feel like he's faked us out so many times and I get that stretch last year, I think it was 14 starts. It was the longest one yet. It was the most reassuring yet. I'm going to be right there with everyone else falling for it again. But at the same time, in the back of my mind, I can't forget that he's done this to us before.
Al, you got a worst pick for round six?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and stick with Gomez there.
Okay.
Who very well may return that value, but he's, to me, the biggest risk of all the players that were taken in that round.
So would you have taken Starling Marte over Carlos Gomez?
Oh, easily.
Would you have taken Corey Dickerson over him?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got his own risk too, though.
All right, let's go to round seven. Miguel Sano, Adam Wainwright, Michael Brantley, Michael Wacha, Ian Kinsler, Jason Hayward, Corey Dickerson, Prince Fielder, Freddie Freeman, Masahiro Tanaka, Michael Franco, Yasiel Puig. Scott, best pick of round seven.
The best pick of round seven, I think, is Prince Fielder. And I think it was probably one of the best picks of the draft. Particularly for a points league, because he strikes out so infrequently. He walks a lot. I think even if you just look at his numbers last year and just expect those to carry over as is, it's a great value at this point. But I do think he showed enough power in his first year back from the neck surgery that I'm not ruling out the possibility he gets back to being a 30 homer guy. And you see Freddie Freeman there also, and you're like, oh, well, you know, Freeman's actually a first baseman and Fielder isn't. Well, it only takes 5 games at a position to gain eligibility during the season. And though I don't think Fielder is going to get the majority of the starts at first base for the Rangers, I think he could get 5 or at least 5 appearances there pretty quickly and help deepen what is perceived to be a thin position right now, first base.
Okay. Al, what's your best pick of round seven?
For me, it's Freddie Freeman. I think that's a great pick. I think that might be one of the best picks in the draft, actually, just in terms of where he went, because you had the cluster of the first tier first baseman all going in rounds 1 and 2. And then we had Adrian Gonzalez in round 3, which
was a big reach.
Was a
huge
reach.
We talked about that on the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the end of round six, Eric Hosmer. So I have Freeman ahead of both Gonzalez and Hosmer. But with Hosmer going at that point and Freeman being at this stage so much better than any other first base option. I mean, it's only a matter of picks before Freeman was going to be taken. So great timing.
There. I have him ahead of those guys, too. But I have Fielder ahead of all of them, least in combined position rankings.
Right. So let me ask you, if Fielder were first base eligible, where would he rank for you guys?
Well, for me, he would rank ahead of even Freeman, behind Jose Abreu, which I don't have my first base rankings pulled up.
That would be seventh.
That would be seventh?
Well, Abreu is seventh. It goes...
I'm forgetting Chris Davis. Behind Abreu, behind Chris Davis, and then Prince Fielder there, ninth, ahead of Adrian Gonzalez, Freeman, and Hosmer.
Right, with Posey also in those rankings.
And I do really feel like the majority of the season you're going to be able to start him at first base, so I don't want to oversell the fact, oh, he's not first base eligible anymore. Yeah, it puts you in a bind early on, but I don't think it's going to be an issue all season.
All right, so how about the worst picks now of round seven, which again was Sano, Wainwright, Brantley, Waka, Kinsler, Hayward, Dickerson, Fielder, Freeman, Tanaka, Franco, and Puig. Al, worst pick of round seven, don't say Kinsler. Go ahead.
I hear what I wasn't supposed to say.
Oh, my pick, Kinsler.
Kinsler. I won't.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm going to go, and I think this is going to be an unpopular one. I'm going to go with Michael Franco here, just because it feels like a bit of a reach for me. You've got Adrian Beltre and Kyle Seager still on the board. They go in round eight. So I understand that maybe there's a reach there for upside, but I would actually rather have Beltre or Seager.
Okay, Scott, worst pick of round seven?
Going to go Kinsler, Adam. Sorry to say. I feel like beyond Jose Altuve, and I'll even put D. Gordon up there as a clear top two at the position, there's not a lot of differentiation between the next dozen or so. And Kinsler, to me, strikes me as one of the bottom on that group of 12 just because of his age. And the fact that we have seen his power and speed numbers decline gradually over the last few years. He's gotten away with it because he scores so many runs at the top of the Tigers lineup, but Cespedes isn't there anymore. Victor Martinez isn't the same. I just don't know that you can rely on that happening again, particularly if there's another drop in power and speed from Kinsler.
Well, I'll be honest with you. You took Rougned Odor at the end of round seven, and that's round six, and that's really who I wanted. So, yeah, I hated that pick. And you could tell I hated that pick because it took me almost the full 90 seconds to make it. So, all right, one of you had Kinsler as your worst pick. I expected as much. Let's go to round eight. Danny Salazar, the first pick of round eight. Brian McCann, Adrian Beltre, Kyle Seager, Jason Kipnis, Garrett Richards, Francisco Liriano, Jacoby Ellsbury, Matt Kemp, Hunter Pence, Ben Zobrist, and Jordan Zimmermann. Al, best pick of round eight.
Best pick. I'll go Beltre here. Well, yeah, sure. I was thinking maybe Kemp. I like Kemp a lot here too, but and I'll go Beltre. I just think he's going to probably be undervalued because of his age, but very good second half once he came back from the thumb injury. A little bit of struggle initially, but then really had not dropped off at all from the previous year, and I think he'll hold his value this year.
All right, Scott, what's your best pick of round eight?
Best pick is harder than worst pick here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let me see if I can identify the worst pick then, why you think.
Well, no, there's just a lot of candidates. I'm not in love with any of these picks, really. I'm thinking maybe Danny Salazar, just because it's such a small second tier at starting pitcher after those 20 or something ace caliber pitchers go off the board. And him getting him, Igor Mello was the one who picked Danny Salazar. Him getting Salazar a full two rounds after I felt like Al made that Justin Verlander reach, I think is good value. I do think Verlander has more upside, but Salazar's a good high strikeout pitcher who projects to have a low whip too. Might get burned a little by home runs, and that's why I don't think he can ascend to that ace level, but he's going to be the next best thing.
Okay, so of this strong field of candidates for worst pick of round eight, Scott, who are you going with?
You know, I'm kind of tempted to go Beltre.
Wow.
But to me, Ben Zobrist stands out even beyond that.
See, doesn't make my Kipnis pick or my Kinsler pick look so bad after all, huh?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you inspired his by reaching for an aging second baseman yourself.
Maybe.
And, I do actually rank Zobrist one spot ahead of Kinsler in this format.
You mean one round ahead of Kinsler?
No, one spot.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't think round eight is an appropriate time for either. I'm thinking, given the depth at second base in a league where no team has a middle infield spot to fill, like that third middle infield spot, there's no reason to go for a marginal one that early, an aging one that early, one who's not eligible at shortstop anymore, which we've kind of gotten used to Zobrist being there the last few years. That's not the case. So it seems like a reach to me.
Oh, you keep talking about the depth at second base, but if I didn't get, I'm not taking Zobrist. Like, there's no way. He's just not.
I haven't met a Kinsler, so.
What? Okay, but like, who are the fallback options if you keep waiting at second base that you guys are comfortable with starting?
Logan Forsyth.
But he's kind of a one-year wonder, isn't he?
Yeah. What did you say about Forsyth?
Forsyth's a one-year wonder.
I don't. I mean, particularly when you're saying you don't have to really pay much for him.
Well, he has been a one-year wonder. It's not like that kind of came out of nowhere.
I'd always kind of liked him before then. I mean, I'm not saying that to give myself credit for this breakthrough. I'd kind of written him off after he'd let me down before, but he showed an intriguing combination of patience and pop in the Padres organization, and I don't think. There's no part of his line that screams to me unsustainable. Now, I understand there's not much of a track record there, so you can make that argument, but I think he's fine as a fallback option at a position with few standouts. And he's not the only one either, right? Colton Wong still has plenty of upside. Joe Panic, was even better than guys like Pedroia, well, I'm not sure about that. He ranked really high in terms of points per game last year, though. And this is obviously a points league, so I think he'd be a perfectly satisfactory starter. And he didn't go until round 12, which struck me as a little early when he went. So yeah, there's plenty of fallback options.
All right.
Yeah, and I agree with that too. And a couple that Scott didn't mention, I really like DJ LeMahieu as a fallback option. I like Devin Travis, who's not going to start the year. But I think once he's back in the lineup for the Blue Jays, could put up huge numbers, and on a per at bat basis, you know, could be a top maybe 7 or 8 second baseman. You know, there's a, after my top six, there's a bunch of guys who I'd be willing to take pretty much one for the other, which means I'm willing to wait and wait and wait.
Well, you said top six. Most of these guys we named are outside of our top 12s.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a league where every team starts just one second baseman. So
yeah.
That you may not even have to go that far if you wait at second base in this format.
All right, let's get back to the picks here. And Al, give me your worst pick of this round, of round eight.
All right. Worst pick for round eight. Actually, I'm going to make this simple and say, because of what we were just describing, Zobrist to me does stand out.
All right, let's go to round nine then. Round nine, Jose Reyes. Byung-Ho Park, first baseman for the Minnesota Twins. David Ortiz, Wade Davis, Jung-Ho Kang, Mark Teixeira, Marcus Stroman, Travis d'Arnaud, Andrew Miller, this was before the Chapman trade, Ian Desmond, Craig Kimbrell, and Taijuan Walker. So the closers are coming off the board here, as we had Wade Davis, Andrew Miller, and Craig Kimbrell.
Wade Davis was the first one,
yeah,
of all closers in the draft.
Scott, what's the best pick of round nine?
Well, not to pat myself on the back, but I really like David Ortiz here. That was my pick with the third choice of round nine. A guy who, he's 40 now, and we keep expecting. But anytime a player gets to that age, you have to think, okay, maybe next year is the year he falls off the cliff, but it hasn't happened yet, and his production is elite. And to get that level caliber of a hitter in round nine, I think it's worth the risk, the still unsubstantiated risk of him falling off this year.
Okay.
And that's who I was targeting too as the best pick, actually, by far. So I get to pat Scott on the back as well. Even though, Scott, you're being, I felt a little bit ageist, and you know, not giving Beltre his props. And I forget there was somebody else too you were talking about being later
Kinsler.
In their career. Kinsler, yeah.
Well, the difference between Ortiz and those guys is they have been declining and he hasn't. He was one of the top home run hitters on all of baseball last year. How many did he have? 37 or something.
Yeah, so close to 40.
37, 101 RBI, 913 OPS.
But he did have, like, the first half of the season, he had absolutely no success against lefties. So, okay. You know, there's some decline there.
I guess you could take that as a sign maybe of decline, but it's not the steady, significant drop in slugging percentage that we've seen from Beltre and Kinsler.
No, it's amazing. He had a 5.53 slugging percentage. He hit 37 home runs last year, 35 the year before. So it's just the batting average. He's not a 300 hitter anymore. But yeah, Ortiz pretty good. Al, is that your best pick as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Al, your worst pick then of round nine.
Okay, Jose Reyes, who was the first player taken in round nine. And after last season, I am through with viewing him as anything close to an elite. He's part of, just like I was talking about, second base. We're beyond the top six. There's probably a dozen or so players in that position that I see as very close to interchangeable. Same thing at shortstop. And Reyes, for me, is not among my top players at the position. In fact, I would say probably my top five is where I would put the line between the first tier and the second tier. And I've got Reyes ranked 11th among shortstops. So he's not even one of my more preferred options among the second tier.
Now, Reyes has been declining, and he's old. So I get that. But we have been consistently drafting him in round three or two prior to this year. And now we're talking about round nine. I actually, if Ortiz wasn't there, for me to pick him as my best pick, I was actually tempted to pick Reyes because even with his numbers declining a little bit more last year, in terms of head-to-head points per game, among shortstops with a relevant number of at-bats, he was third behind Correa and Lindor. And after joining the Rockies, his numbers were great. Now, it was only like 25 games or so that I think he got to play, but it just seems like that could be a perfect spot for him to land at this time in his career to get some more life out of his whatever ability he has left. And, I think since he didn't, in this format, really drop too far in the rankings, I feel good about him here as somebody, if you missed out on that Lindor, Seager class of shortstops, somebody you can fall back on four rounds later.
Now, okay, so you said he was third in points per game. Yep. Among shortstops. Was there bunchiness, as you recall, after him in the rankings? Because I remember looking into this after the season. I had Reyes in the podcast league and was not really happy with his production, and I wanted to kind of do a reality check on that. And his production seemed to be very middle of the pack from what I looked at.
Well, I mean, if you're comparing him to Carlos Correa, obviously, there's a big gap between Correa.
Right, and there's a big gap here in terms of the draft position.
But second was Lindor at 3.01, then Reyes at 2.84, then Tulowitzki at 2.73, and then Bogarts was 2.73, and then there's a few 2.6s, and then 2.5s, and a bunch of 2.4s. So, I mean, it's... If you're just comparing it to Correa, yeah, it's bunchy. But
I'm comparing it against the guys below, not above.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
That's more distance than I remember there being. But you do have to take the decline trend into account, the long, long-term injury risk into account, and the fact that I'd actually be surprised to see him stay this season in Colorado. They're going to need to make room for Trevor Story at some point.
That's fair.
He'd be a valuable trade chip.
That's fair. I'm counting on the Colorado effect negating the decline effect to some degree. But if he doesn't stay in Colorado, obviously that's a moot point.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to speed things up a little bit because this will be the last mock draft podcast for this particular draft. So let's go to round 10 and I'll just get one of you with a best pick, one of you with a worst pick. And Scott, how about the best pick of round 10? I'll read the names off.
Okay.
Hanley Ramirez, Tyson Ross, Shelby Miller, Shinsu Chu, Adam Eaton, Kenley Jansen, Albert Pujols, Salvador Perez, Ketel Marte, Mike Moustakas, Steven Matz, and Aroldis Chapman. Best pick, Scott.
The best pick is Albert Pujols, who Al took. And that was a good, what is it, four rounds now after Hosmer?
Yeah.
Three rounds after the Freeman-Fielder duo. And there's a good chance he'll miss the first month coming off foot surgery, but his production, it was even better than Freddie Freeman's last year. And yeah, he's declining some too, so I don't know if he was completely healthy. I'd still rank him ahead of Freeman, but it would be a close ranking between the two. And I think that three-round separation is overstates the gap between the two.
Okay, Al, the worst pick of round 10.
Worst pick? Hanley Ramirez.
Really?
Yeah, you know, no more shortstop eligibility. Just pretty much of a mess last season. I expect some bounce back, but I think he's more as an outfielder, you know, closer to being a late rounder in this format than round 10.
Can I go back for just a second?
No, yes.
In round 9, we mentioned Andrew Miller.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was not going to get drafted anywhere close to that anymore now that Aroldis Chapman is a Yankee.
Right, yeah, no, as Chris and I talked about that last week, because Chris drafted Andrew Miller.
Got it.
Yeah, they got pretty good bullpen. Anyway, round 11. Let's go to round 11. Oh, are you guys cool with Ketel Marte in round 10?
It seems a little bit of a reach. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Al talked about the bunchiness with Reyes last round. I think there's more bunchiness when you get to the Marte range of shortstops, guys like Johnny Peralta and, I don't feel like Marte's that much better than like Marcus Semien, even.
I've got Asdrubal Cabrera actually ranked ahead of both Reyes and Marte.
Okay. All right, to round 11, Stephen Piscotty, Lance McCullers, Carlos Rodon, Gregory Polanco, Hisashi Iwakuma, Curtis Granderson, Michael Conforto, Mets are on, Yu Darvish, James Shields, Trevor Rosenthal, Michael Pineda, and Julio Tehran. Some interesting starting pitchers picked in this round. McCullers, Rodon, Iwakuma, Darvish, Pineda, and Tehran. Al, give me the best pick of round 11.
Oh, it's yours, Adam.
Ooh, really?
Sashi Iwakuma.
Yeah, damn right. And then at the time, that was the day that the news broke that he had failed his physical, and I didn't even know what happened. So
that's right.
Still a great.
It still wound up being a good pick. Well, you know, and again, because we were probably all maybe overreacting a little bit to that news, he fell farther than he probably needed to. And compared to the cohort of pitchers that's there, you know, I think as much upside as anybody with the possible exception of Lance McCullers and, and Yu Darvish. But, you know, a very good steady track record.
Okay, how about the worst pick of round 11, Scott?
I don't hate any of these picks, really. I guess the Michael Pineda pick comes closest when you still have guys like James Shields and Iwakuma and Julio Tehran going off the board. Guys who I feel like have number two upside, let's say, pushing number one. And then you have Pineda, who I think is going to have Tommy John surgery this year based on the injury he was dealing with at the end of last year and the drop in production that coincided with it.
All right, off to round 12 now. Jose Quintana, first pick of round 12. Daniel Murphy, David Robertson, Russell Martin, Jairys Familia, Joe Panik, Luis Severino, Joe Ross, Yordano Ventura, Colin McHugh, Randall Grichuk, Jake Odorizzi. We are reaching the point in the draft where you're getting a lot of high upside pitchers. Love this point in the draft for drafting starting pitchers. But anyway, Scott, we'll go to you for the best pick. Al, you'll take the worst pick. Scott, what do you got?
I've got a need to stall here because nobody's jumping out. Yeah.
Would you like me to read the names again for the listeners?
No. I guess, man, the best pick?
It is tough.
I don't, yeah.
Because there's, you know, at the point in the draft where there's really, you know, it is upside that you're banking on. There's not a lot of quality, consistent players here.
I kind of want to say Joe Panik, because I think relative to the second baseman we saw going off the board three, four rounds ago, he's not really worse for this type of format. But at the same time, I know there's still good second baseman left, so you could argue it's a bad pick too. I maybe Jose Quintana, just because he's such a safe pick, and I think maybe a little bit of an underrated one. He's gotten burned with the wins the last couple years, which has kept his value down. And even though I like the upside of Severino and Ross, I feel like if they're as good as Quintana already is, like, that'll be a success for them, you know?
All right, Al, worst pick of round 12?
Daniel Murphy.
Yep.
Yeah, just, I mean, I don't really love the Panik pick either, but, you know, again, just because of the bevy of second baseman, they're available, but Murphy's just not in the same class.
Okay, round 13, although I do want to pause to play a fun game.
Oh, good. Okay. I could use some fun.
Wait, this is really for Al. Don't tell Scott.
Oh, fine.
I need fun too, so.
All right. Now look, Scott White, brilliant fantasy baseball analyst, good man, good friend, excellent at fantasy baseball, a bit of a deliberate drafter. Does take a while to make his picks. So we are allotted 90 seconds per pick. Al, how of the 21 rounds, in how many of them do you think Scott took less than a minute to make a pick?
Three.
No, you know what? I was going to say like four or five. Surprisingly, eight. He started strong and he finished strong.
Yeah.
But
let's see how quickly I answered that. I didn't take a long time.
Only Jeff Tobin took longer to draft his 21 picks than Scott.
He's a very busy man.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was probably doing eight other things.
Scott took 18 minutes and 48 seconds.
You said I came back there at the end?
Yeah, you had a strong finish. Your last pick only took you 14 seconds.
See, I found that to be the case. I feel like it's the reverse of most people. I really debate those early picks and like worry that it's going to send my team down a bad path. When in the late rounds, I know exactly who I want. Mm-hmm. It's basically the same sleepers every draft. So,
oh yeah, your last three picks.
I just take them when they fall to me.
I bet this is a trend for you because I have noticed this in drafts. Because you've got your sleepers and you got them queued up and you're ready. And yeah, I think that you're a quick drafter late.
But yeah, but even in round three, Jake Arrieta, 31 seconds. Bam.
Bam.
Yeah, he fell to me.
Now Scott took 18 and a half minutes to draft. I took 7.5 minutes, and Al, 11 minutes and 37 seconds. Look at me, speed demon. And I was the third fastest. Okay, back to the draft. Round 13, guys. Running out of time here, so we got about 15 minutes left. So we got a lot of emails, by the way, so next week we'll definitely be able to do a mailbag. All right, Trevor Plouffe in round 13. Alex Gordon. Brandon Crawford.
We have our worst pick already.
Trevor Plouffe.
Yeah.
Okay. Plouffe, Crawford, Plouffe, Gordon, Crawford, Mesoraco, Houston Street, Zach Britton, Patrick Corbin, Lucas Duda, John Lackey, Evan Longoria, Mark Melanson, and Elvis Andrews. Al, best pick.
Whew. I like Mesoraco here.
Yeah.
It could be a total bust. But, you know, also you may just have a top three or four catcher in round 13.
When Heath drafted Mesoraco, I was like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Good call.
Because, I mean, I'm going back 1, 2, 3, 4 rounds. And, like, during that stretch, the only two catchers who went were Salvador Perez and
Russell Martin.
I mean,
yeah.
Mesoraco, I'd take them over those guys.
Yep. Oh, totally. Didn't even think about him when I picked Salvador Perez. All right. And the worst pick is Trevor Plouffe, Scott?
Yeah, pretty easily. But there are some other bad picks here. I don't like Elvis Andrews. I think Evan Longoria might be a little bit of a reach actually in round 13. Lucas Duda, the same thing. But Plouffe just, you know, I don't know that he should be drafted in a head-to-head mixed league, period, okay. Much less round 13.
Then we're off to round 14. Yan Gomes, Carlos Santana, first base only. Brett Gardner, Christian Yelich, Matt Holliday, Ender Inciarte, Stephen Vogt, Drew Smyly, Ken Giles, Matt Moore, Cody Allen, and Francisco Rodriguez. So a lot more closers here. We have some interesting outfielders. Gardner, Yelich, Holiday, and Inciarte going in four consecutive picks. Let's go to Scott for the best pick of round 13. 14. 14.
The best pick is probably... Oh, man, this is hard. It's getting hard at this point. Sorry. Ah, man, I don't love any of them. I guess maybe Carlos Santana because of the format. I mean, he's not that good now that he's not eligible at catcher or even third base going into last year. But he walks so much. I mean, that's the one thing you can count on him doing every year, and those are worth a point each. So, I mean, you give him 80 walks and 20 homers, whether he hits 220 or 260, at a position that we've acknowledged is kind of thin, first base. I think you can get by with him as your starter at that position. And here in round 14, anytime you can get a starting caliber hitter, it's a pretty good thing.
All right, Carlos Santana, the best pick. Al, the worst pick.
Yan Gomes. Yan Gomes, just not, you know, I took Stephen Vogt later in the round. To me, there's, particularly in this format, there's no comparing the two. No. Gomes just not a good points leaguer.
More like Yan Gomes at that point, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Did Inciarte seem too early too? I mean, I know you kind of like him as a sleeper, Al, but I mean, he was barely top 40 in this format last year, and I don't think he has upside beyond that.
Let's see. I'm just looking to see what the opportunity cost was here. Yeah, it was early.
Okay. Round 15, Starlin Castro, Irvin Santana, Raisel Iglesias, Billy Burns, Aaron Nola, Cole Calhoun, Mike Fiers, Rich Hill, Scott Kazmir, Jay Bruce, Jeff Samardzija, and AJ Ramos. Al, you get the best pick of this round. Scott, the worst. Al, best pick of round 15.
Really like Raisel Iglesias here. That was Scott's pick. Took him more than a minute to make it, but it was well worth the time. really, really dominant over his final stretch before he was shut down. And that's just too much potential to pass up at a relatively late part of the draft.
Cool. How about the worst pick, Scott?
Well, I mean, Al was so kind to me that I feel rude doing this, but I'm just pretty much over Cole Calhoun. It's kind of like I was saying with Ender Inciarte in the last round. I mean, I don't feel like Cole Calhoun can be much better than he was last year, hitting 26 home runs. And yet, in terms of head-to-head points per game, he was down there with like Torii Hunter. So we've just seen that he strikes out a lot more than we hoped he would. He doesn't run at all. I think it's a limited skill set and not really starting material in a three outfielder league like this.
Okay, I'm looking at outfielders drafted after Cole Calhoun. You're talking, let's see, Chris
Davis. By the way, seeing that I took Calhoun in this round was part of the reason that I agreed that Inciarte was too early the round before.
Because you like
Calhoun. Because I like Calhoun quite a bit better.
Yeah.
All right, Calhoun.
He is a sleeper this year. So,
what do you think he's going to improve on?
I think he's going to cut back those strikeouts because it's such an aberration from what he's done before. And I like the fact in this format that he's probably going to hit leadoff.
Yeah,
I don't like AJ Ramos. I think he's going to lose his job at some point to Carter Capps.
Carter Capps is better, but AJ Ramos is awfully good. He may lose his job by getting traded to a team that doesn't need him to close.
Yeah, that might be true.
That's a likely scenario.
Okay, round 16. Brad Ziegler, Johnny Peralta, Matt Wieters, Colton Wong, Dustin Pedroia, Chris Davis, KH, Roberto Ozuna, Billy Hamilton, best pick of the draft, might be, Jimmy Nelson, Gio Gonzalez, Glenn Perkins, and Wei-Yin Chen. Best pick, Al.
Oh, it's my turn.
Oh, it is. I'm sorry. Scott,
yeah,
best
that's
pick.
Good.
Best pick,
you're probably
Scott.
More ready than I am.
Well, this is what we were talking about waiting at second base, how you don't need to draft Ian Kinsler.
Billy Hamilton is not a second baseman, Scott.
You don't need to draft Ian Kinsler in round 7 because you can get Dustin Pedroia, who I think was about as good on a per-game basis.
Per game? You're talking about Ian Kinsler, who stays healthy every single year. It's a big difference. Dustin Pedroia is like one of the most injury-prone second basemen.
Well, then Colton Wong was taking the pick before him. I like Wong in this round.
You could go either way. I actually have Wong ranked ahead of Pedroia, so, and Kinsler both. So let's say he's the best pick then, but I think either's very good for a starting second baseman. They did basically have the same number of head-to-head points per game last year, Pedroia and Kinsler. And I know Kinsler's been healthy, but I mean, a middle infielder in his mid-30s, that's implied injury risk right there, regardless of what his track record says.
Okay. I cannot disagree with that. Al, worst pick.
I'll go Wei and Chen here, and really it could be either him or Jimmy Nelson. And I realize I'm willing to cut some slack with the pitching picks in this point in the draft, because it's the time when you go for your sleepers, and, you know, maybe there's some reason Heath took Jimmy Nelson. You know, maybe there's something there, you know, that Heath likes, or Eric Kay took Wei and Chen. But I just think that there's so many better, not only better in terms of track record, better options at starting pitcher here, but also ones with higher upside than Chen, especially.
Week 17. Wow. Week 17. Fantasy football mode here. Round 17. Oops. A-Rod, Alex Wood, Hector Rondon, DJ LeMahieu, Vincent Velasquez, best pick of the draft by me, Kendrys Morales, Sean Tolleson, Dellin Betances. That is a terrible pick. Jonathan Papelbon, Mike Leake, Addison Russell, and Jock Peterson. Dellin Betances, worst pick of the draft, should not be rostered in this format. We start two closers.
At the time of this draft, I don't think that was true. I think it became a much worse pick with the addition of Chapman.
Why? You knew it was going to be Andrew Miller closing for them, unless you thought Miller was going to get traded.
Well, I mean, at that point, there were rumors he was going to be traded.
We don't draft based on rumors. Dellin Betances
is so December, good. We do. He's so good even without saves.
He is, but in this format, it's worthless. I'll see where.
Right, I agree. Not as much in this format as in Roto.
I'll see where he ranked last year among relief pitchers. Actually, be kind of interested. But all right, what's the best pick? Who's up? Who's up for best pick?
Al's
here?
Up.
I'm up, and I'm going to go DJ LeMahieu. That was Heath's pick, and didn't Heath just take? Yeah, Heath just took him in a early draft. He's doing right now.
Yeah.
Another league, so
maybe, Roto draft.
Maybe he's a Heath favorite. And I do think LeMahieu's a little more valuable in Roto, but at this point, with all the hits that he gets, granted a lot of singles, but with the hits that he gets and the stolen bases, I think this is a great point to take LeMahieu.
He's going
to
be driving in Jose Reyes a lot.
Listen, I got to talk to you about this. DJ LeMahieu was one of the worst hitters in baseball, basically, considering he played at Coors Field. Year after year, and he finally was good last year. He wasn't even really that good. He was just good. Like, is he really that good of a pick? Because
he was
awful.
And like I said, in Roto, it's I think it's a little bit better, because I think the batting average last year, .301, was legit. But he doesn't strike out that much. He started to walk more. So you know, I think at this point, yeah. I mean, if you're judging him by power numbers, no, he's not very good, but. In a points format, I think he's a pretty good pick this late.
Well, he did steal 23 bases last year, so that was big.
Yeah, that's the sneaky contribution there. If not for that, I'd be in complete agreement with you, Adam. And I still don't think the upside compares to some of the other second basemen going in this range, but I don't think you could really say it's a bad pick.
And maybe I'm being too hard on him, but he's just like, he's like a five homer guy.
By the way, I do have to retract that, though, because as much as I like the LeMahieu pick, I glossed over the fact that the second to last pick of the round was Addison Russell.
Uh-huh.
So.
Who you have ranked even higher.
Much higher.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a shortstop. Like, if you're going to go for an upside shortstop, like Heath, I believe it was, who took Ketel Marte in round 10, Addison Russell is the one to take, and he lasted seven more rounds.
So Betances is the worst pick of round 17. Round 18. Reddick, Chris Young. The Royals pitcher, Mark Trumbo, Victor Martinez.
Can I just, because this kind of ties into the Dodgers signings of Kazmir and Maeda. We didn't mention it at the top.
Oh, Hyunjin Ryu out?
Alex Wood out.
Oh, really?
He went in round 17 there with Betances. So in retrospect, he might actually be the worst pick. But, you know, there's a chance Ryu won't be ready for the season, and then maybe Wood will be back in.
Interesting. We actually have to go because I have a meeting in 2 minutes.
Okay.
So,
sorry for interrupting you.
No, it's all right. I mean, this was good stuff. It was, unfortunately, it took us a while to get on the air today, so we didn't have as much time as we would have liked. And I do apologize for cutting the podcast short today.
So can we pick like a best pick of the last four rounds or something?
Yeah, sure. Best pick of the last four rounds, Scott.
Well, I said that as if I had one queued up and ready to go. But I actually like a lot of the picks if you go on the site and review the whole draft. And in the very last round, I think there's a lot of upside there, as you often see in a 21-round draft. Three outfielders in particular stood out for me. Will Myers, David Peralta, and Mr. Irrelevant, Byron Buxton, who, if he has his breakout year this year, he's a top 10 outfielder, and he was taken with the very last pick in a three outfielder league. So that's the kind of hitter I'd be willing to have on my bench in a format where I usually like to go pitcher heavy on my bench.
Al?
And, just some ones that stand out to me. I'm going to do a little back padding here because I mentioned earlier, I like Devin Travis as a second base fallback. I got him in round 19. Cool. So I like that value. I like Eugenio Suarez in round 21, who's probably going to give you some flexibility, become third base eligible.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah, he's a shortstop eligible player. I mean, you're going to play him at shortstop.
Right.
He's in that Ketel Marte class, I would say.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I'm sorry there was somebody else, but...
Tyler Glass now?
You want to picked him. I like him, but... yeah, so we'll stick with those.
Okay.
Because I know you got to go.
I'm a busy man, people. No, I do apologize. I would have loved to have been able to break this mock draft down a little bit more, but I guess three podcasts, after all, is enough.
I think that's thorough enough, yeah.
We will read some emails as long as I'm on the podcast next week, because I'm only in on Monday. So hopefully we'll do it on Monday. If not, I can get Chris and Scott now to record something. I have those types of powers. So, Scott, Al, thank you guys very much. Good to have you back, and we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening.